December 15th, and I'm at the home of Helmut Huber from Fargo here, and we're going to do an interview for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection. So we're going to start with these general questions, and Herb, I guess I'll call you rather than Helmut, huh?
That's
fine. I'll ask you, what is your name and your date of birth, and where were you born?
Well, I was born Helmut H. Huber in Ashland, North Dakota, on December 18th, 1927.
Okay. What is your father's name, and where did he come from?
My father's name was Henry H. Huber, and that's where I got my middle initial. We both had the same middle name. His name was Henry Herbert Huber, and mine is Helmut Herbert Huber.
Oh.
And my dad did not come from the South Russia. He came from the Volga region. He was one of the first, my family was one of the first ones that came to the Volga area when Catherine the Great opened up the plains of Russia.
And do you know about when that was, the 1700s?
The first Huber came to the Volga in he started in 1763 and he got there in 1765.
Mm-hmm.
And he came with his wife and two boys. And that's where our heritage started, as far as my father's side go, from the Volga area.
I see. And how about your mother?
My mother is a direct relative of, a descendant, I should say, of South Russia, because her father came from, Hofnungstal in Bessarabia, South Russia. And my grandmother came from Borodino, South Russia. So, but my mother was born in America, in Ashland, North Dakota.
Oh, she was.
But my mother's oldest brother was born in Russia, in Bessarabia.
Okay.
In Hofnungstal.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I'm the oldest of a family of three. My other brother, Eugene, he's 2 years younger than I am, and then I had a brother, Jim, that still is on the farm, and he's 7 years younger than I am.
Mm, I see. On a farm in Ashley.
In Ashley. Well, he's farming the land that my father acquired as...
As a homesteader?
No, he bought it. My father came to Menlo, South Dakota. When he came over when he was 17 years old, and he worked with that, and then down there he got in touch with my dad's uncle, who had come up earlier through Canada and then came down to Menlo, and there they worked together until they had enough money acquired. Then they came to Ashland, North Dakota in 1919, and then they bought some land there, and that's how we got to North Dakota.
Okay. Do you have any idea how parents decided on their children's names? Like you said, your middle name, you know.
There was, my name is Helmut. Helmut is a very much a German-orientated name, if you go back in history. And that's where that came from. And then they wanted some connection with my father, and my father's middle name was Herbert. And when you write it, my father had three H's in his name. And that's what I ended up with, the three H's.
I see. And that's very German.
Yeah, and Eugene, which is Eigen, and that's German also, but in English it comes out Eugene. And then my brother James, which is Jakob in German.
Mm-hmm.
But those were the German names, but being in America, they translated them into the English. But they're all basically of German heritage, those are the three names.
Hmm. That's interesting. Let's see, was the custom of naming a child after a grandfather or grandmother a way of carrying on the family name too?
Yes, more so in the earlier years than it was after they came to America. But as was the Russian custom, when I was back to see my relatives in 92, Jakob and Heinrich and those, they were carried on, each family carried that name from generation to generation if they had the children. Sometimes, like my father's oldest brother was John, but he died, so they had another son which is younger than my father. They named him also John to keep the name going, or Johannes.
Oh, Johannes.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Hmm. Were middle names important then?
Not that I know. In a way, yes, because the brother next to me, Eugene Reigen, his name is Fred. He's got two middle names, Fred and John, and they were both named those names came from my mother's two brothers. So they tried to intertwine the names of the family.
Into mother the or father, huh?
Yeah,
it didn't really matter.
Yeah, either side.
Either side,
Because I think what happened in my case was Dad had the first pick because I was his, the firstborn, and then Mother made the choice on the second one because he was the second. That's kind of the way it turned out, I think, and that's I know that's what the two names from my younger brother, next brother came from.
Okay. Did your mother tell you anything about the old country, in South Russia?
Not too awfully much, because basically what I learned more from where my mother came from is the little bit I learned from my grandpa, Grandpa Wall, and he kind of talked to us a little bit about that, but not very much.
What was his name?
Fred Wall, Sr.
Fred Wall.
Sr.
Okay, Sr. Okay. What did he tell you?
Well, it was something about what they call the orchards and so forth that they had, and like I said, something about the wine that was a little bit different.
Yeah.
And that was different for him coming into North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to raise some of the fruit around there where I came. They did raise fruit and some plums and some apples and stuff, but not. It was not like it was back when where he came from, where they came from in Russia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was your grandfather. You don't remember anybody else telling you anything about?
Well, what I heard from listening and so forth, and when the families would visit and stuff when I was, around. But other than that, nothing direct. I learned more from my father was more interested in history, and I learned quite a bit more from him, from the Russian heritage and what they did and so forth. And, and he came directly from there, so I guess maybe that's why it was a little more interesting, because he left there when he was 17. And
so he had a lot of memories.
He had a lot of memories. He would go from going to school and so forth and so on.
Yeah. So he didn't live in South Russia then, that was in the Volga area.
He came from the Volga area,
The
village of Balzer.
The village of Balzer.
Balzer.
B-A-L-Z-E-R?
Right.
Okay. Did he ever talk about their home in the village there? Did they have villages then in that area too, like they did in South Russia?
What they, his explanation of it was what they call the Dorf.
Oh, okay.
And that's where they lived in a group, and then the land, they farmed the land and worked the land. Somebody would come and pick up the cattle and take them out and herd them. They'd had a herdsman and so forth. But everybody lived in the village, and everything was done around it then. And they had one central place, like the central square, and they had a spring for the central of the village and so forth.
It's sure different than things were when they came over here. I mean, it made them much more less dependent on each other because they were homesteading. They all had their own land then and lived far apart.
Yeah, it was. And that was the thing that I think my dad probably talked about the most was the way that everything was done in kind of in unison when they were in the Dorf. Now, my grandfather had a flour mill, so he was never really on the farm. And the dad worked in the flour mill until he was 17. But it was a windmill, not a water mill. A windmill flour mill.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you remember times when they talked about, were they ever homesick for the homeland?
As you know, men are very more so stoic than lady. And I never, as I grew up, I never really noticed this on my father. But he did write to him and so forth, that it really bothered him. But at one time we had a wall reunion, which was all the family got together on my mother's side. And I thought that something was wrong with my dad. And that's what it was.
Is that right? Oh, so they were bound to get lonely and homesick for the homeland, weren't they?
Yeah,
especially him. I mean, he was 17 when he came here.
Yeah, and he had never seen them. And then, as the history goes of the Germans from Russia over there, because they lost track of them during World War II. After that, and from there on, it just got worse. And we only heard from them twice after the war, and then we found out, and I found some living cousins over there that I got to go and see and so forth, but that's beyond this.
Quite another story, isn't it? How was property inherited in your parents' and grandparents' generation?
If I would have stayed on the farm, I would have hit the farm, the firstborn.
Because you were the oldest.
Yeah. And, but I didn't stay because I had two younger brothers behind me, and I figured, and we didn't have enough land for three of us. So I went, and then my second brother went, and then the younger brother got the farm. But that's what it was done, basically down around Ashland, is the older brother got the home place.
Oh, okay. So really, each child didn't inherit equally?
Well, they tried to. My father had it done that way. James got the home place, but he got a little extra for staying on the farm and taking the home place. But from then on, it was divided between the three of us.
Oh, okay. So their fairness was important?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did sons inherit differently than daughters? If you would have had a sister, how?
Not that I can't.
I
can't remember. I don't know. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then older sons inherit differently. Well, they got the farm.
Well, it's fine. If I had stayed on the farm,
yeah,
I probably would have gotten a little bit more as far as the estate goes, as far as the land goes, and that's the way we treated my brother Jim, because that's what we did to him.
Mm-hmm.
We left him the better land, the closest land to farm, and then whatever extra, whatever else Dad had, we just split amongst the three.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. This raises the question: do you think there was ever anger in families about inheriting inheritance issues? Probably not in your family. No,
not in our. I'm sure there was, but I hear of the people that I knew down there personally. They don't know of any.
Okay. Did you speak German as a child?
Yeah, I talked German before I talked English. When I went to school, I didn't know any English when I started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was always spoken at home?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Because we had an uncle that lived with Dad and Mother and us, and he couldn't speak any English at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Basically, it was all German until I started school, and then
yeah,
it was a little easier for my brother, the next one, because I had learned it. In 2 years, I had learned a little bit, so he learned from me and so forth.
But, mm-hmm. Sometimes they'd have the teacher stay with them, and that would be one of the reasons that the families would want the teacher to live with him, you know, so that they could learn some English,
right,
you know.
No, I never had any problems because of it, as I remember, anyway, because we must have had some pretty good teachers.
Yeah, I bet. What were some of the childhood chores that you enjoyed doing and some that you didn't enjoy?
Well, on the farm, there was... I enjoyed the harvest time the most, I think, when I got old enough to work. And the work in the fields, I did the chop on the wood and some of those things, just were not my greatest pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked to work, I worked with horses, and I worked with the tractors and stuff, and I enjoyed the field work.
Mm-hmm. Threshing time, huh?
Mm-hmm. That was the most fun. That was the most fun of any time, because I can't remember the exact age. I was pretty young when I started, but... kind of put you in the manhood area, and when you got your own bundle team and two horses, and you went from farm to farm, that was quite an experience for a young man.
It's hard work, but another thing about it probably is fun is that so many people get together to help out.
Yeah, we had a crew, I suppose, of we usually had either six or eight teams, a couple of spike pitchers, you know, plus the machine men and all that. So it was 10, 12 all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you didn't do the work, how were you disciplined?
Well, I don't know. Dad had an old razor strap that came in handy once in a while. And I'm not ashamed of that, you know. He didn't abuse it, but we knew what it was for, so.
And after a few times, it didn't need it anymore,
no,
probably. What are some of the memories that you have? Do you have any that just kind of stand out? Think about your childhood on the farm?
Oh, there's lots of things. You know, when I look back on it, it was really a great time because we had a hill. We did a lot of sledding. We did hunting, and all the neighbors used to come and sled. And I don't know, you know, we had so much. We made toys. Next to none. What we did, you know, we had the stick horses, the broom horses, and all that stuff, you know, and the homemade slingshots to shoot the flies and all this. We had all kinds of things to do, and you know, and I when I look back and I didn't, you know, We always had enough to eat, and I never felt that I was deprived of anything, as far as I knew. We didn't know any better, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's the answer, too.
Mm-hmm.
The memories that I think are important to me now is that the visiting that we used to do amongst the cousins and the relatives, and that doesn't happen anymore today because of the way the people are spread out. But on a Sunday, you know, when it wasn't right in the middle of harvest, we were either at a uncle or aunt's place, or they were at our place. You know. And that's some of the things that I think the kids miss today. Because when we have those reunions, our cousins get together, and we've got a good number of them, you know. And we all knew each other fairly well when we were growing up.
I think you're right. That's very true. And Sundays was a day that you didn't work, I bet, huh?
No. My dad didn't believe in that, nor my mother. And we did the normal chores, you know, but other than that, didn't do too much. We weren't in the field.
No. How much schooling did you have then? Did you go to a country school then?
Graduated 8th grade from country school, and I went 4 years of high school and 1 year of college.
Mm-hmm. That's good, you know.
Yeah. And that was a business college. And,
uh-huh.
From then on,
mm-hmm.
Interested in Fargo.
What was it like in your school?
What I remember of it, it was a great time. I had, you know, I don't have any bad memories of it. My grades weren't the best, but they weren't the poorest either. I was a fair average student, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the math and history, which I'm glad I did, because now I'm using some of it, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there kids of other nationalities in your school? Do you remember that?
No, not that I know of, because we were in that area where I grew up was, well, I suppose 95% German-Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in grade school, through 8th grade, was all German-Russian children.
Uh-huh. And that was in a farm school?
Right.
Through 8th grade?
Uh-huh.
Where did you go to high school then?
Ashley High.
Oh, to Ashley. Was that far from the farm?
Well, when I used to walk before the railroad track, was about a mile and a half. The other way is about 2.5 miles.
Into town, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
And when it was nice, I walked it until I got old enough to drive, you know. In the wintertime, I used to walk it on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And during the week, I stayed in town with my uncle.
Oh, I see. Okay. Did you think there was a difference between farm school and town school? You know, you hear about that being a different kind of a experience.
Well, the only thing I can compare it to is from the town school to high school. And it was the town school, because, well, being a freshman in high school was different because you were more on your own. It was just like kind of I always kind of put it to like the transferring from high school to college and from grade school to high school, because you had a lot more attention in grade school.
Yeah.
Because you were all at the same room. If you had a problem, the teacher was always there.
Yeah.
And
how many kids went to that school, the country school?
I think I'm trying to discount in my head. I think in my 8th grade there must have been 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty big.
No, it was. Well, we used to have, earlier, I guess they had quite a few more, but the reason that was 10 or 12 is because the school that I started in, they had closed that, because they were, and they consolidated two country schools, and that's why the second one, that when I graduated from 8th grade, was a little bit bigger.
Was that just one room?
One room.
One room.
One room with a little shanty in front.
Mm-hmm.
And barn outside for the horses.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And an outhouse.
And an outhouse. Yeah, that was...
Big potbelly stove in the middle of the room?
Yeah, no, ours, we had a big old, kind of a coal furnace on the one, or not a furnace really, but a coal stove burner. And if I remember it in that school, it was to the front, to the left-hand corner.
Oh.
One stove.
Did the teacher always fill the coal stove with coal in, or did she?
Well, she used to bank it. We used to bank it at night, and sometimes we helped, and sometimes we didn't. But we used to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday she'd come, as I remember, Monday she'd come early in wintertime and get it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that we were, see, on the second time around, we were, I suppose, when we were going to grade school, about 3 miles away. And so there were neighbors that were closer where the teacher lived in.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. In what way was religion and church important in your upbringing?
Well,
was it part of your upbringing?
Oh, yes, very much so. Sundays were always, we went to Sunday school, and we were all confirmed, and I would say that my father was all religious, but he was a deacon of the church, he read of the church, and so forth. And those were kind of the values we were taught on the farm. You know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of church was it?
Reformed.
Oh, the Reformed Church.
Yeah. And that, my mother was a Lutheran, and which is what a lot of the people were from South Russia, but like I said, my dad came from the Volga, and that's where the Reformed Church was stronger. And
oh.
So there was a Reformed Church in Ashley, too. So.
Mm-hmm. I know some people down there in that area that went to Reformed Church, and they were all Dutch.
Mm-hmm. Dutch or German. See, that's basically where my father came from. That church goes back to the Dutch,
mm-hmm.
the Reformed. And that came from Dutch to the Germany, and from Germany they took it with them to Russia.
Mm-hmm. And made its way over here, didn't
yeah.
it? Mm-hmm. In what language were church services and prayers?
Well, it was German. I was confirmed in German.
Oh, you were.
And the prayers and the reading and everything was in German. And I can't tell you the exact date. It was after I was confirmed, because my brother was confirmed in German also. And then my youngest brother, which is be 7 years younger than I am. And by then it was English.
Mm. Okay. So it changed by then.
Yeah.
And like the next question is about when it switched to English, so about 7 years after you were confirmed.
Yeah, see, confirmed. Yeah, that'd be about right. Yeah.
You were confirmed in what year about? You were 15 then?
No, it's about that old. I was about 12 or 13. So, with 27, 12 would have been 39 or 40.
Mm. Okay. Did your parents, how did they feel about that change? Do you remember?
I don't really remember. It ever came, but it was something that the Reformed Church is a little more. The Lutheran Church was at English already by the time the Reformed Church came. The Reformed Church held on to the German service a little bit longer than the Lutheran Church did.
I see. What did baptism and confirmation mean to you?
Well, baptism, as you know, we baptized it like the Lutherans do, and I don't remember it. Confirmation. To me it was strictly a learning experience, you know, and we learned a lot of things, and I couldn't repeat very many of the things that we were supposed to memorize.
A lot of memorization in German,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And then, like in the confirmation class that I went to at that time, and I don't know how it is now, but, you know, we had one special day for just questions. A half a day we sat up in front, and if you know, the minister went around and asked questions, verbatim, you know, and each individual had, we never knew which question was coming at us, so
yeah.
That was a stressful day.
Yes, right. That's changed. How did your family deal with death in the family, or how did people grieve?
As you know, I'm emotional, and my mother was, and I can still remember when grandfather died, and dad came home and told mom and stuff. There was a lot of crying and so forth.
Do you remember anything about the funerals and the songs?
The funeral, I was a pallbearer for my grandfather.
Oh.
That we were all the young grandkids. I can't remember all the boys. We're all the boys from the different brothers and sisters.
But that was in a funeral home then, I suppose?
Church, Lutheran Church.
Okay, yeah. But years before then they'd have the body in the home, but you probably...
Oh, that, yes, yes, I do. Yes, they, when my Uncle Solomon died, mother would, all the brothers and sisters would take turns, just sit at the wake, or they called it the wake then. They sit there at night, everybody sit around the clock, so the body was never alone.
Is that right? You remember that. Remember any of those songs?
No, not really.
Uh-huh. Are you familiar with the wrought iron crosses?
I wasn't until I got to Russia, because we never had them down there.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a different thing. It was not. There were none that I could see, and you can go to the Lutheran Cemetery down there now, and it's all granite, and so I don't remember any of the iron crosses.
I don't either, really, but I think it's mainly Catholic. But that isn't strictly true.
No. But the wrought iron and the crosses and stuff are articles. When you get to Germany, like the German Russians, they use them. And I don't know if that's a takeoff from what the Russians do or what, but they use them over there.
And they still do?
Some of them, yes.
Do they have a special design that means something, do you know?
That I don't know.
Mm-hmm. This is done by, you know, artists or blacksmiths that were artists, you know. Did various... What did Christmas mean to your family?
Well, it was kind of a special time, and, you know, you kind of remember the poor family. I remember it's the only time of the year we had chocolate cookies and walnuts and hazelnuts and stuff. And we were in a very small house, but we somehow Mother always scraped up have enough for a Christmas tree and so forth. But I have some fond memories of Christmas. It was some great time, but there was never a lot of packages or anything. It was basically the homemade stuff, the cookies and so forth, the gingerbread men she used to make. And, like I said, the chocolate cookies and the nuts, that was a big thing for us.
Anything German? Any German foods that were special at that time of year?
Well, we always had goose for Christmas dinner and stuff like that. And
a goose that was raised on the farm, probably?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. And, like I said, other than that, the food, she made some cookies and gingerbread men and some other things, and Kuchen, naturally.
Kuchen?
And that was always a special treat. But
you didn't have that year-round?
Oh, yes, yeah. But it was always a special treat for... She made some... I know she made some extra fancy ones for Christmas once in a while.
Yeah, probably, huh? And, like goose, that was kind of a German tradition, I think, wasn't it?
We still do it.
You still do it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had it years and years ago. It's so good. do you remember Christmas during the war years or the Depression? Did that make Christmas any different?
No, that's because it's basically that's when I remember, you know, during the Depression. I don't know when you figure the Depression, but in the 30s.
Yeah.
That's when I basically started remembering, because, you know.
I suppose.
And
yeah.
They were, like I said, they were sparse and stuff. But somehow they found out, and I don't know how they hid everything from it. It wasn't that much, but we never knew what we were getting. And the way I grew up at Christmas, the Christmas tree didn't go up. After we got to bed, we had the little Christmas tree, and Mother and Dad put the Christmas tree up when we were sleeping, and the presents were under it by Christmas morning.
They put it up themselves, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Went out to the woods to get the cut.
Well, no, we don't have any trees out there. I don't know where they, that's like I said, I don't know where they hid all this stuff, but the tree was always hid and stuff from the presents. And that's how I start remembering Christmas growing up on the farm.
How about Easter? Was Easter an important event?
Easter was kind of a solemn event, yeah. And,
like Good Friday, I suppose.
Good Friday, and also Easter Monday, which, you know, was a Easter holiday as far as we were concerned.
Not so much anymore.
No.
Right. Do you remember any activities that were special at Easter?
No. Well, coloring the eggs. Mm-hmm. That was, that was a kind of, I don't know if we call it a ritual or not, but it was something that we did every Easter. And then we used to have the egg fights. You remember them?
No.
Did you ever do that? You know, whoever had the strongest egg, pecked the eggs and see whoever was done by the end of the round, who was the winner and so forth. That was one of our traditions that we still do.
That's a game then that you kids played, huh?
Yeah. Oh, but not only the adults, everybody at the table.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, how about the Easter Bunny?
No, that wasn't much. We never did. That was not part of our Easter celebration.
Was Santa Claus at Christmas?
Yes. Oh. Not, well, they called it Belzenickel.
Oh, they did, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So Belzenickel was a good guy?
Yeah.
I've heard it said that...
That sometimes they call it the other, but that's the way I remember my dad called it, you know, and there's just the guy. And it's the custom is different in different areas, and that's what, as I remember now, maybe I don't remember it right, but that was Belzenickel is what they used to... I thought that's what Dad used to call him.
Oh, my dad did, too.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was a positive thing. It was not.
Yeah, right.
I talked to someone, and it was, Belzenickel was a fearful.
Yeah, I've heard that also.
That
but
would
that,
come and get
yeah.
kids that didn't behave, you know.
No, but that was not, as I remember, that was not our situation in our books.
Yeah. How about marriages? How were marriage ceremonies performed? Were they in the church?
Some were in the church, as I remember. I don't think I've ever been to one that was in the home. The ones that there were churches, they were always in the church when I grew up.
Was there a reception held in the home then?
In the home or in the hall, sometimes in a special place, like when they were married. One of my cousins was married in Ashley. They had a kind of a hall that they had the reception in and the dance afterwards, the German wedding dance and all that.
What was the German wedding dance like?
Oh, it was a fun time, you know. You got to drink the schnapps as you went in, and then there were schnapps and beer available, you know.
Yeah.
And, a lot of food.
Yeah, a lot of food. What about that schnapps then? I mean, that was served right at the door, wasn't it?
Yes. They still do that.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's an old tradition, I bet. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about it?
No, the only thing I know that about the only time I ever drank schnapps is when I went to the wedding, you know, because Dad never had it home, but we had wine at home, but we never had schnapps at home.
Oh. Was it homemade, the schnapps?
I don't know. I think so, but I'm not sure.
I've heard it called red eye.
Well, that's alcohol. That's 190.
Oh. Wow, okay.
We used to serve, well, someone used the regular schnapps, wasn't as strong. Some served the 190, the red eye, that's two. Mm-hmm. There was two different.
And I remember some people cooking brown sugar and water, and that was some kind of a Hochzeit drink.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Was that?
I can't remember that one, but I've heard of it, but I don't remember drinking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long did these wedding festivities last?
Well, the ones where I grew up, they would start usually in the afternoon. The wedding would be afternoon, then you'd have a big meal. And sometimes, on one I can remember, we ate lunch, and then we had the wedding, and then they had a big supper, and then they had the Hochzeit dance and all, and the festivities, the auctioning of the bride shoe and that.
Oh.
And that went on as long as people stayed, and I can remember going home.
Out.
I can remember going home when the sun came up, so.
Oh. did they have accordion music then and dancing?
Yes, basically the accordion.
What kind of dancing?
Old fashioned, you know, the waltz, the two-step, and then,
polka?
Oh, yeah, lots of polkas, but they did one other one at weddings that I can't remember anymore. Shottish, and then there was what they call the kind of the bunny hop. They used to do that once in a while, don't they?
Okay. Any other more unusual ones?
No, that's the one.
Okay, that's what you were thinking of there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How about songs? Do you remember people getting up and singing German songs
at
these weddings?
At the wedding, yes. I can't remember what the names of them are, but they used to sing. And usually sometimes it was after, right after supper, or after the evening, the big meal, and they'd have a sing fest for a while.
Is that right? Before the dance?
Yeah.
I see. And you don't remember any of those wedding songs?
No.
Okay.
Well, Drei Rote Rosen, that was one of them they used to sing, and then, what was the other one? That was one of the few that I can remember.
Three Red Roses?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of foods were served at the wedding? Traditional kind of food?
Well, one was, Wurst was always one of them. Mm. And then, it seemed to me they used it, with one of my cousins, it was later in the fall, and they had hams, and homemade ham and stuff, but sausage was always one of them. And then the German potato salad, and then all was Kuchen.
Mm-hmm. Was that the sausage, was that fried sausage? Country fried, not summer sausage.
No. Uh-huh. It was hot.
It was hot, okay. Homemade beer too? Do you remember that?
Well, they had beer, if it was homemade or not, that I can remember. We used to make homemade beer, yes. My dad made it.
Oh,
but I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly. Were the bridal clothes and the decorations and flowers made by the families? Do you know?
I never had any sisters.
Okay. How were wives and husbands chosen? Were there arranged marriages that you know of?
Not that I know of.
That probably was earlier.
That was earlier. And it did happen where my father came from in Balzer, and I'm sure it happened in South Russia also. But in America, as far as I know, in the timeframe that I'm talking about, I don't know of anybody that happened.
And you don't, well, I wonder who decided that, you know, in those days.
I don't know.
Parents, I guess. Did the women help with the outside chores?
Oh, yes. My mother worked. How she ever got it done, I'll never know, but she...
What kind of work did the women have to do outside, or what did,
well,
what did your mother do?
It all depend. It all depend on the time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, when she did all, hers was the garden. That was her. You know, that was her main outside thing in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But when the harvest started, like when we used to header and stuff, she used to drive the horses and stand in the header box and some of the things. And then when there was milking to do, when we were busy in the evening, she'd come up. She'd come and milk.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that.
Otherwise, it was always your job and the men's job to do the milking.
Well, she always helped. When she had time, she helped us milk.
Mm-hmm.
But she used to have to do it alone when we were harvesting.
Yeah. All that hand milking, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No machines then.
Yeah, we had as high as 15 cows. And,
oh.
And so one of us would try to get in a helper, you know. That's a lot of cows for one person to milk.
You think of the muscles and the arms.
Yeah.
So do you remember some of the German cooking your mother did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Knöpfle and the Schupfnudel and... Kuchen naturally, and Lachendi, and then the canned chicken and the canned pheasant and all. That was the best. I still, canned pheasant, or the canned chicken and canned pheasant, you know, that was it. That's better than fresh, I think.
Good stuff. My mother still does that, the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's a treat to get a jar, and sausage, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, see, that's, when I grew up on the farm, we never had any electricity until we left. So everything that we had was either had to be preserved by smoking or canning.
Right.
And so.
No freezers.
No, we never had a freezer. We never had power on. We never had electric power on the farm. We had gas. We had a gas washing machine.
Oh.
And the tractor was. We had a tractor and gas, but other than that, we never had any electric power.
Mm-hmm. Was there music or entertainment in your home? Was your family at all musical, or did they?
Mother could play a little piano, but other than that, that was about it. And we had such a small house. I only grew up in a house with two rooms and an upstairs that wasn't even finished.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have room for it.
Yeah, yeah. So you didn't sit around and
no.
sing at night. And
no.
That was okay. So no one played besides your mother played a piano a little.
Little bit, yeah.
When they got company, you know, when neighbors had come to visit or whatever, were the children permitted to stay in the room, to stay with the adults?
No. My father always said, and I think my mother said it too, you know, children are supposed to be seen and not heard, you know. And usually, like I said, a lot of the company I had were with cousins, and when the cousins came, we'd go outside and play, you know, we got out of the way.
Did you attend dances?
Oh, yes.
As a teenager?
Mm-hmm. I learned to dance at the wedding dances, where I learned to dance.
I suppose. Where did you attend dances?
Well, the Ashley Pavilion. And so this was in high school now.
Uh-huh.
Well, usually, the dances were held in a barn. Something they had a barn dancer for the weddings, or else they had it in the hall. Like, Ashley had a hall that we could go to and the dancer for help. And
mm-hmm.
That's what I learned.
Who went to those dances then? Mainly young people?
The wedding dances?
No, just
the
regular dances.
The regular dances were most of the young people. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, the kids in high school were maybe 20, 21, 22.
I'm sure that's how they met, huh?
Yeah.
At the dances. It was one place.
Yeah, that was about the only place we had except the pool hall, you know, and stuff. And the girls usually weren't in there, so that was about the only place that was available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the attitude of the older generation towards entertainment?
My folks never had a problem with it, as far as dances go. Well, I never had to, you know, they knew we went to dances, and in fact, they danced.
They liked it too,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was encouraged or never discouraged, huh?
Never discouraged of it, would be more correct, I would say.
Do you remember some of the games that you played as a child?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, you know, the horse, and we build our own fences and horses, you know, the wooden horses made out of sticks and so forth. And then being on a farm, we had, we did a lot of hunting. We played marbles a lot.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. What did you hunt?
Pheasants, rabbits. We did a little trapping in the fall, and like weasels. And we hunted a lot of gophers in the summertime.
Yeah. How about deer?
No, we never hunted deer. And for some reason, there were not a lot of deer in the area that we were in. I guess maybe that has something to do with it. But I've never shot a deer.
Okay. Were your parents or grandparents superstitious about certain aspects of life?
I honestly don't think so. I know, not that I'm aware of. You know, if they were, it wasn't very obvious.
Okay. Can you identify specific healing techniques that were used?
Are you talking about Brauka?
Yeah, well, that's my next question. Yeah. Do you know anything about it?
No. That, I guess my mother, when she had a midwife, or, you know, but there was a doctor there when I was born. But other than, they had their own home, a lot of home remedies.
Can you tell me some of those?
Oh, yeah. My daughter still gives me a bad time, you know, not too long. It was a few years back, I punctured a nail into my leg. And so, you know, growing up, we never went to the doctor. So I got some bacon and soldered it down good and wrapped it on my leg and as a poultice. And she thought that was terrible. But that's what I learned from at home. The same way with mustard plasters. Mentholatum was we were never without that, because that was an inhalant.
You mean Dix?
Mentholatum. They called it mentholatum. It used to come in a round can. And that was, mother used to heat it when we get cold and stuff. We used to have to sniff that inhale that.
I see.
Clean our sinuses and stuff. Or if you got a sore throat or something, put it around your throat, put a sock around it.
Yeah. I was thinking that was like Dix. Was used.
It's the same difference. I think it's a mental base, so I think a mental base. So.
It got kind of hot and
yeah,
made you feel good. Are you familiar with the Heil's letter? One of the people I interviewed talked about that, and I'm very curious about it to find out what this plant is that they used. It had a pretty big leaf.
Oh, I've heard of that, but I don't know what it is either.
She said
they used it as a poultice, I think, or something.
Mm-hmm. And when the kids would get a sore or something, then the mother would say, run out and get some Heilblätter.
Yeah.
And she said she'd see the plant in the garden. It grew in the corner of the garden, a kind of a weed. She could identify it. I mean, I'm very curious what that plant was.
Someday you'll find out. If my mother were here, dad were here, I think they could tell you.
Hear of it.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, another one, you know, all the remedies, what do you know? Was for a poultice was fresh cow manure.
Oh.
That doesn't sound very pretty.
No.
But that was strong. We used to use that on horses too. You know, the horse got affected and wrap that around the leg to pull it.
Wrap it up then?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
You ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. I haven't. That's new to me. What about Brauka? What do you know about it?
I heard her talk about it, but very little I know. And I think that goes back to something, I don't know if it was superstition or not, but I never saw my folks use it. So that's all I know about.
Did you know anybody that was supposedly a browser?
Now, I don't know if midwives were the same as browsers. I knew of some midwives, but I didn't know if anybody was a browser, no.
It's a little different, you know, but some of the midwives did have those.
I understand that they did that too. I read something about it, but I, like I said, I don't know if they did or not. But
there's supposedly a lady in Ashley that still does it.
Yes.
You probably know who she is, but I don't know her name.
I don't know her name either, but I've heard of her. Yeah.
How were midwives paid, you know?
I don't know. Like I said, the only one I ever know is that I heard my folks say that she used to come home and check on mother when I was, when she was carrying me, but other than that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents use any expressions in other languages? You know, like Russian, old Russian expressions, or I have on here Plattdeutsch too, or French.
Oh.
What are some of those expressions?
Yeah, you saw any expressions or sayings?
Anything, like...
Well, like, you know, they used to say, you know, Haile, Haile, Kelbedrek, Morgan Fries, Alisek. Remember that one?
Kind of. Say it again.
Haile, Haile, Kelbedrek, Morgan Fries, Alisek.
Uh-huh.
This goes back to what I said about that pulses with the... You know what Kelbedrek is.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
And like my dad used to, he brought, my dad brought one back from Russia. And I don't know if this is Russian or not. But he used to stand behind you and he'd go, Bombus canak nikitik nak vipu finger stain stuff. You know what that means?
Well, I haven't heard that, no.
And I don't know what the bombus canak nikitik nak means, but you know that means either. But that was kind of a saying, and then leave the finger staying stuck means how many fingers they can have. Then he, you know, then you'd have to guess how many fingers were. That was kind of a thing that went around at our house.
A little game.
Yeah, that game. It was kind of, but it was something that he brought with him, and I don't know if it's German or Russian or what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. Any others?
Not that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Okay. Can you remember the name of a German newspaper that you received in your home?
Oh, it's listed on there.
Yeah, I have on here North Dakota Herald and Dakota Free Press.
The Dakota Free Press.
Okay. You remember getting
that? Yeah, I did get that, yeah.
Uh-huh. What kind of information did they look for in the paper?
Well, I think basically what my dad looked for was any news from the area that his people came from, you know, from because they had a lot of, they had local news, but they had used to have, if I remember right, they used to have information that people got from overseas, from Russia as long as they could get it.
And then people would share that information?
Yeah. Well, he used to, I